Hello, this is Paul Green, WGN political analyst and chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Today at the City Club, we had a rather raucous debate on whether or not Chicago Public Schools should have an elected school board. Speaking were State Representative Robert Markwick, who was for the school for election, Honorable State Senator Kwame Raoul, who also was for elected school board, and former school board president Jesse Ruiz, who now runs the Park District, who was opposed. The debate went up and back, but perhaps the two most interesting aspects of it was Mr. Markwick said there's a bill in the legislature where he would like a 20-member school board elected by districts, and the districts would be drawn by the state legislature. That drew an awful lot of oohs and ahs. The other thing, of course, was the whether or not democracy is served by having Chicago as being the only district in the state that doesn't have an elected school board. They went up and back on that, and I believe no views were changed, but it is interesting that this democracy factor really overshadowed the monetary factor, which some people were saying was far more important than who was elected or who was appointed. Where's the money going to come from?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here today, and thank you, City Club, for hosting this forum. In my role as a state representative, I never really thought I would gravitate towards education issues when I first arrived in the legislature. I hadn't had any education in my life for quite some time, and I was just recently married, and we didn't have kids, although that's about to change in a couple of days. But somehow I sort of started to gravitate to these issues, and one of the issues was, and part of the bio was wrong, I used to live in Norwich, I live in the city of Chicago now, and one of the issues was the constant struggle around Chicago public schools and the quality of the education that we provide and the challenges of the finances of the Chicago public schools. And so I started to get more and more interested in those issues, and it led to this point. So I wrote many of the provisions that are currently in the elected school board bill that passed the House 110 to 4. Was that what it was? 110 to 4, I think, 108 to 4. There is Governor Quinn is holding my sheet. Thank you, Governor. And it passed with broad bipartisan support, so I'm very proud of that. But to be fair, I was the guy who carried the ball across the goal line. I had some ideas that I think helped passage, but this was an issue that clearly, before I picked up the ball, had been carried by many of the community groups. I see members of them sitting out here who decided that they needed to have a voice in education matters in Chicago. And I think that's fair. I always say that the gift of democracy is that you get to choose your own government, and the price of democracy is that you have to live with your bad decisions. The good news is those bad decisions are only until the next election. But Chicago public schools are in a unique situation. It's there's one other school district that was taken over by the state, but other than that, we're the only school district in the state of Illinois that does not have elected representation. And you pay more of your income, either through income taxes or property taxes, to education, more than anything else. That's what we do here. 55% of your property tax bill in the city of Chicago goes to education, and I imagine that percentage is about to go up. And one of the tenets of democracy is no taxation without representation. So there are so many issues. We know about the financial crisis that they've been through. They're barely making ends meet. There was threats of teacher layoffs unless we came up with additional money from the state, which we did. I'm very happy about that. We've had some contract scandals, the Barbara Bird Bennett contract, $20 million no-bid contract to a former employer. We had the school closure issue, 50 neighborhood schools closed, much to the chagrin of people living in those neighborhoods, only shortly thereafter an announcement that 22 new charter schools would open up. So the question of, and again, are these decisions right or wrong? My standpoint is there are people who would say that's the wrong decision to make. There are some that it's the right decision to make. But my point has always been whether the decision is right or wrong, people should have a voice in this process. Citizens who are paying the bill should have a voice in the process. People who have neighborhood schools. Thank you. And we've seen since the school board was taken over completely by the mayor of the city of Chicago in 1995 with the School Reform Act, we've seen the finances sort of free fall. At that point, the pensions were nearly 100% funded, and now we know where they're at, I think somewhere around 50, because the CPS did not make a pension payment for a decade. And at the time, maybe that seemed like a good idea, but I think in retrospect, we say that was probably not a good idea. We've taken some steps to fix that. We've reauthorized a levy for CPS pensions, which will make sure that the tax dollars that you pay make it to the pensions now, which is, I think, is a good thing. Let me talk a little bit about the bill. I see I got about a minute left, and I don't want to run over. The bill would be slightly different. It would be the same oversight that every other school board has in the state of Illinois, with a couple of differences to account for the fact that Chicago is a unique municipality. So what is different is we would have a 20-member board, and every elected school board in the state has board members elected at large. What I did when I crafted the bill was I came up with 20 board members elected from districts that would be drawn by the legislature. Now, I know we're going to get into the whole issue of districts, but when you have elected districts, what you have then is a number of things, and this was designed to address concerns that were brought up to me about the elected school board. So one of the things that people said was, how do we ensure minority representation? Well, if you're at large, you diminish the ability of minorities to serve. If you break it into districts, what you do is you're able to craft districts that will allow minorities to serve the people that live in their communities. One of the things I've learned about is even though we have one public school system, the challenges throughout every corner and every neighborhood in the city are very, very different, and each one should have the right to have its own voice. The smaller districts, also what they would do is there's a big concern about the influence of money. What influence will money have in this election? And clearly we know from elections that the larger the district, the more people voting for an office, the more money matters. The smaller the district, the more grassroots organization and community involvement matters. And so that was designed specifically to address those problems. Finally, what I did was I put in there something that would, again, be unique. I made the school board president's position a citywide elected position. And this was done for two reasons. One, while we have everybody running from different districts, I think it's important that one office serve to be that cohesive sort of city approach. This is the overall general CPS approach, and they can run on those issues. And also what it serves to do is it serves to provide education for the voters. I heard a lot of concerns. Well, what if people walk into the poll and they play the name game? We don't know who to vote for. Well, what this does is, obviously, this would probably have media attention only second to the mayor's race, which would mean that with that media attention, people would give the voters an opportunity to be educated about the issues, and then they could judge their elected representative for their school board against those issues. So that's the board. That's the bill in a nutshell, and I'll pass it on to
the
Senator.
Very good. Round of applause for Bob. Kwame.
So my bio was a little stale, too. I'm now the chair of the Judiciary Committee.
For this group, you are.
I'll also mention that I'm a partner at the law firm of Quarles & Brady. And there's a specific reason that I mention that, particularly in these days when we as legislators are not getting paid. I'm hugely... it's a great benefit for me to have another stream of income, and that has impacted how I've been able to educate my kids. I've chosen, my kids went to a parochial school for elementary school, Francis Xavier Ward, and really I couldn't afford it back then, but I figured out a way to do it, went to lab school for high school, and I don't know that I can really afford that either, notwithstanding my role. But it was a choice I made that it was that important to me. And unfortunately, the vast majority of parents in the city of Chicago can't make that choice. But the reason I made that choice is because not only what they learn inside of the classroom, but what they learn from their peers outside of the classroom. Unfortunately, the approach to the Chicago public schools has not afforded Chicago public school students that same opportunity in recent years. there's been this creation of schools largely in the central area or in the north that cream the talent both teacher-wise as well as student-wise from the neighborhood schools. Then there's another layer of talent that is thereafter creamed to attend certain charter schools. And the neighborhood schools are left with less resources, that lack of diversity of students. When I say diversity of students, I'm talking about the gifted students, the students at all levels. And I think students learn from one another. And this notion that we have to, even to the point of the suggestion of naming a school after my predecessor, the South Side Organizer, that would be a new magnet school put on the North Side, wouldn't be something that would be embraced by a system that had democracy blended into it. It just would not be embraced after all we've done. I talked to, we had the National Conference of State Legislators in town this year. We were fortunate away to steal the convention away from the city of Baltimore. And I talked to legislators from throughout the country and different people from throughout the country. And I talk about the dilemma I faced when my son was 3 years old. I used to walk around with an accordion folder. Where am I going to send him to school? Everybody says, well, where I come from, we just send him to the neighborhood school. The gifted students go to the neighborhood school. The special needs students go to the neighborhood school. Everybody goes to the neighborhood school, and it works. And in the vast majority of those school districts, they have an elected school board. And it works. And that includes every school district in the state of Illinois, except for the city of Chicago. The notion that we started our lunch out with the Star-Spangled Banner to celebrate our democracy, what we say our soldiers go off and fight for and to promote democracy, but we can't promote democracy in education, the most important thing, policy issue, I think there's not much debate about that, is a challenge. Now, democracy can be ugly. Democracy can lead to unfortunate result. Only look at the Republican presidential primary to see that. I cede you that. And we've evolved in our democracy. We've evolved in our democracy to be inclusive with regards to gender, with regards to race. We didn't always do democracy right. But we've never totally abandoned it. However, we never have embraced it with regards to the Chicago Board of Education in over 150 years, while the rest of what was good for the rest of the state was this form of democracy that's embraced throughout the country. So the question here, I think, is a question of both democracy and equity. We've seen in other ways that Chicago public schools have suffered from lack of equity in funding. Our governor may call things a Chicago bailout because we've been doing the things the wrong way. We've been funding by way of zip code instead of having more level funding. We've paid into every school district's pension fund, and we don't have the same equity for the Chicago public schools. And we've embraced democracy for every school district, but not the Chicago public schools, and it's time to change. Now, some are worried that embracing that democracy means somehow you will over-politicize the Chicago Board of Education and Chicago Public Schools. Now, let's not have amnesia. There has not been a lack of politics as it comes to the Chicago Public Schools. And I don't mean that to indict any individuals or, the reality is whether appointed or elected. People, there's this redistricting debate that's going on, and people are talking about removing politics from the redistricting process. In every state that has a appointed redistricting board, politics have not been removed from the process. Let's not be naive. And so the notion that elected school board will be over-politicized is flies in the face of what our country is based on and is naive. I've heard the argument that embracing democracy, embracing an elected school board will stunt innovation. You know, I'm not opposed. I'm not one of these people who are choose neighborhood schools over charter schools or vice versa. I embrace innovation from wherever it comes from. But we've got to realize we have diversity both in our charter schools and our neighborhood schools. We've got some good charter schools that have brought innovation that can be embraced by neighborhood schools, and we've got some awfully bad charter schools that have kept their doors open far too long. Likewise, we have some good neighborhood schools that have brought about innovation. There's one right in my district in the North Kenwood neighborhood, Ariel School, which teaches kids the finances at first grade. That's coming from a neighborhood school. So we can embrace innovation in neighborhood schools with the school board that is elected. The one criteria of good schools that is consistent, whether they're private schools or public schools, is involvement from the community level, involvement from parents, and a voice from the parents.
Kwame, could you finish up with your...
Yeah, in about 10 minutes.
You got a... This isn't Springfield. We only count to five.
So to close, I think, you know, that quality that is a constant quality in every school and every school district throughout the country is something that would be brought about by bringing democracy to the school board.
Round of applause for Senator Raul. Now for the other side, Jesse Ruiz.
It's always great to be the spokesperson for the other side when it can be deemed as anti-democratic. It's not really for me. It's not a question of democracy or democratic elected body. We're those who are still serving on the school board. Boy, I long for those days. Not really, we were appointed. Obviously, just like President Obama gets to appoint Arne Duncan, and Arne didn't report to a board, just like Pat Quinn appointed the State Board of Education when he was governor, they were not elected. They were appointed by the governor, and I've never, ever heard anybody call for an elected, and some states have them, State Board of Education. And I think there's a reason for that, and I served on that body as well, and I'd like to think how we conducted ourselves in terms of very open process of our meetings and how we conducted our business lent itself to that. But there's a number of things here. You know, first and foremost, my concern and why I can sit here and speak up for the body that exists today, and it's always existed in Chicago, we've never had an elected school board, and all 95 did was remove the nominating committee that would hand the mayor of Chicago a slate of candidates, and then the mayor could select from that pre-selected slate. Nominating body went away. Mayor could appoint any citizen of Chicago, and that's what the change was. And so you still have a representative body appointed by a mayor who is elected, and my concern is that some of the issues that were addressed or touched upon just recently, just now by my co-panelists, they're not going to go away with an elected body. So I don't want us to lose focus on the governance model being the solution to our problems. It's not the governance model. It is not the governance model that finds certain neighborhood schools that aren't as attractive to other charter schools. It's not the governance model that's going to change the funding system. It's not the governance model that's going to change community involvement in this. We have an LSC system that arguably is the largest elected school body system in the state. because no other state has LSCs. Those folks are elected at each of their schools throughout the system. And so that's my concern, that we're talking about these things, and it takes away from the main focus of what we should be talking about. We should be talking about the fact that we allow our schools to run up $20 billion in debt. That's state law that does that. That's not local governance bodies. They choose, they're elected. I mean, and I can also look at North Chicago, Niles, Lincoln Way, three, while I was on the State Board of Education, Calumet Park, East St. Louis, and North Chicago, that the state had to intervene on, all elected bodies that don't guarantee you a certain result. And so there are some changes that need to happen. This may not be the primary focus where we should put our attention. Our funding equity issues, that's true, that Chicago is the only district in the state of Illinois that has to pay its own pension system. The state pays the TRS into TRS for every other, and we're going to be paying a lot more as of last week when they lowered their income investment prospects. And so we are a differential in that. Every student gets approximately the same. We are a shrinking district. Since when I was chairman of the State Board of Education, I remember Arnie would always brag about having 415,000 kids, and according to my ISBE numbers, we never had 415,000 kids. I think now we're at about 300. I'm looking at the CPS folks over here. About 380,000, is that roughly? I'm looking at Andrew, who's the auditor for CPS and chief financial officer and others there. You get paid based on the number of students you have, and so that does impact the amount of state support that we're getting. There will be more, definitely, not necessarily more politics, but a lot more political money. A good friend of mine, Monica Garcia, president of LA, former president of LA Unified. She's still on the board, but she's no longer president. I think Mike Bloomberg sent her $1 million in one of her races a few years ago. It will get to that level, and frankly, I'm looking at my friend Dan Coton, who, election of judges, I think the fact that we fund jurists who can be who can receive money from somebody and then hear their case later on, it's just too much money in politics. And if anything, we need to find ways to remove money from politics, not add more. And frankly, on the innovation point, I don't know governance is going to impact that. I'd like to think I was a creative school board member, but it's these folks, the professionals who go to work every day and put in the long, hard days. School board members would put in a fair amount of time, but we're not leading the innovation. We're doing governance. We're doing some leadership and oversight. And that's really the role of a board, is oversight. Doesn't always work. And in the Barbara Bird Bennett case, and I voted for that contract, and it's one of my probably few regrets in public life, that somebody didn't tell me that Barbara, and we did not see her resume before we hired her. That system works in a way where that person was already selected when we voted on her contract. We didn't have a job interview with the superintendent. Now, that should change. One thing I said in the Sun-Times interview upon my exit from the CPS board in December or January was that it should function more like the State Board of Education, where I was very proud that we had a very open system. When we were doing budgets, and especially in those last few years when Governor Quinn came in and we had some very difficult budgets to deal with, as opposed to the early years when the biggest problem was how are we going to dole out all this money that probably we shouldn't have been spending in the fashion we were spending in 2005, because who knew 2009 was going to happen. But those years, we would do that budget literally on flip charts, in the open, with participation. The CPS board would be well served to function more like that. We just had a budget meeting last week, and I don't believe, I wasn't there, but I don't believe there were any flip charts and people going through all the options and ways you can carve up the pie, the dwindling pie, unfortunately. And so there's board briefings done in private, not in public, two at a time, so you don't contravene the Open Meetings Act issue. I think, frankly, we're going out of our way to not contravene just do the briefings in public so the public can see what's happening. That's the way we did it at the State Board of Education all over the state. And people saw it was genuine, and it was very democratic. To me, that was the most democratic system you could do.
All right. Jesse, why don't you finish up? We have a lot of questions.
Let's get to the questions.
All right. Round of applause for Jesse. Alderman coming up himself. Very good. Fighting 49th. As we start, we have a lot of questions. I won't ever get to all of them, so don't get upset. You've got a whole bunch. And, of course, the moderator will start off, as always, with a question for Mr. Martwick, because leaving all the education issues, you know, governance aside, and by the way, I ran the LSE elections for eight times, wasn't exactly large turnouts. So my question to you is, if you have 20 board members, are they going to run by district?
Yes, they would.
Who draws the map?
When we were crafting the bill, we were trying to decide between the state and the city. We thought it would be better for the state because it would be one step removed. There'd be less conflict.
So the state legislature would draw the map for the city of Chicago's Board of Education?
That's correct.
I could stop now, but I got one more. Would the people run partisan or nonpartisan?
Nonpartisan.
If they're nonpartisan, that means there'd be one election?
That's correct.
Would there be a limit on how many candidates you could run in each district?
No.
I'm done. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, there would be runoffs. So it would be structured the same as the municipal elections.
So if someone didn't get a majority, there'd be a runoff?
Yes.
The moderator is now going back to being a moderator. Here we go. We have two questions with the same thing. We have one from LCC Nibar. Are you here, LC? There she is. The first Asian-American member of the Chicago School Board Nominating Commission. And we also have Dave Lundy, who is Dave Lundy, and their question is, given the fiscal debacle of the Chicago Public Schools, why would an elected board be any better at making politically unpopular but necessary decisions? And Ms. Nibar said, do you think mixing politics and selection of school board members is going to solve the financial problem?
I'll start with that. There's no doubt that because of the financial problems that the Chicago Public Schools have experienced, and these things are things that are making their way to the classroom, right? We have inordinately high, compared to the suburbs and downstate, number of pupils per classroom. A lot of challenges, infrastructure challenges. And so why would an elected board be better? So let me go back to a philosophy, okay? I'm a believer in democracy. All right, I know that sounds silly, right? We're all believers in democracy, right? But yet, it's funny how when you get to a situation like this where there are financial troubles, the question then is if reforms are necessary, and I think we can all agree there's reforms. Even Jesse talked about making some reforms. The question is, should the reforms be less democratic or more democratic if you're going to make a change? And right now, you've got financial problems that have been created by and large by the decisions of a board that was appointed without any oversight, any confirmation process. And what makes you think that electing people from the general public to weigh in on the decisions that this our education system makes and these financial decisions wouldn't be better? You know, we have a system where every elected school board in the state, I mean, I came from a suburb where those school boards work quite well, and we have really good schools because of it. I just believe that if you're going to institute reforms, your first step should be towards more democracy, not less, and an elected school board will give people a chance to weigh in. And here's the key. Here's the key.
Terse.
With an elected school board, you have the ability to hold them accountable. With an appointed school board, there's no accountability to the bad decisions they make. With an elected school board, as I said, you only have to live with your bad decisions until the next election.
Jeff, you want to?
As I showed you from my clippings, there are a number of examples throughout the state growing, unfortunately, and all you have to do is look at the state's State Board of Education financial watch list and how many financial oversight boards have been put in place across districts across the state. Elected does not guarantee you better financial outcomes or results. In fact, in some cases, I still remember that, sitting there for 5 hours at the Calumet Park School Board in 2006, spring, summer 2006. The nepotism, the financial mismanagement, the self-dealing was astounding, astounding. And those are elected individuals. And if you recall,
We had a runoff election this last year, and I would argue that some of that was as a result of the mayor's school board's decisions. So I would argue that he was held accountable, and this was the result of the voters of Chicago.
Rami, you want a quick response?
Yeah, quick response. I think accountability. I want to say there's a distinction between, Arne Duncan was mentioned. There's a distinction between Arne Duncan serving as Secretary of Education and Arne Duncan serving on a local level as CEO. Appointing somebody to somebody to be the policy, the chief policy maker for education for all 50 of the states makes a lot more sense for that sort of appointment versus a school district. Most major urban school districts have elected school boards, and every school district in the state of Illinois has an elected school board and has that opportunity for accountability.
Okay. Carly Hansen, a Chicago Public High School student. The school, of course, is?
Northside College Prep.
Northside College Prep. Okay, we all got that down. If the school board was comprised of elected positions, would you have a student representative who played an active role on the board as well? Brief answer, no need for philosophy about democracy.
Fair enough. No, but while that there wasn't a specific position created, students would be eligible to run.
That's right. And there is, and our folks are aware, there is a student, honorary student member who sits at every single Chicago Public School meeting, and they give input. And the State Board of Education also had a student advisory council comprised of members from across the state. And they do ask Angel, ask some of the folks who had served in that position, and they will tell you that they had the opportunities to sit in and meet with board members and give their strong opinions.
Brief answer. I think that's a good idea. And we're looking at potential amendments to the bill. I think a democratically elected student member that's more than honorary would be a good idea, and thank you for the suggestion.
Yes, and many lawyers in the stop drooling. Okay, here we go. Catherine, I can't ever pronounce your last name. I'm going to try it one more again. Konopasek. Close enough? Thank you. Retired CPS principal and tutor. Representation from LSEs is not, she underlines it, the same as CPS Board of Education representation. By the way, someone who ran those elections, thank goodness. As the board continues to do major bidding and makes the mayor's bidding and makes mistakes, please share why this is not the answer. In other words, she's saying that the current board makes a lot of mistakes. Why would an elected school board be better than what we have now? Jesse, up to you.
Again, that's my belief, is they wouldn't necessarily provide different results, because a lot of the issues we talk about not paying into a pension fund for 10 years. Well, that was the Illinois General Assembly that allowed that board the authority to not pay into that pension. Let's not forget that. So it was an elected body who did allow that board up until 2011, when I joined the board and we started making those pension payments. That was a General Assembly that allowed that. It's a General Assembly that allows folks to sometimes go beyond their indebtedness limits, which again, so there's a lot of accountability to go around and a lot of reforms that, and frankly, discipline that needs to be imposed in the system. There's a lot of folks throughout our state who've been, frankly, undisciplined about, living within our means and not taking the easy way out and building in more schools than we need. Lincoln Way's got that. Well, everybody estimated, and these were elected folks who made these, estimations of student populations, and they were way off. A hybrid system that's also been discussed.
I missed that part. You had a backside. I'm sorry. Okay, moving on, because we have some really good questions. We have two from the Kenwood Oakland Community Organization. Back in my day, it was called COCO. Is it still called COCO? And who was the postal guy who ran at the beginning?
Bob Lucas.
Thank you very much.
Back to my UFC days. Come on, give me a break. Okay, we have Jeribu P. Lee, but we also have Irene Robinson. Where are you, Irene? Raise your hand. There she is. I'll just read parts of this. I am a grandparent of 16 grandchildren. A year ago last week, I was one of the many that went on a 34-day hunger strike to save our last open-end enrollment high school diet. And she says the policies of the appointed school board has made our schools more separate and unequal, destabilizing black and brown communities, leaving parents voiceless. How do you think this current appointed school board structure can address these, I use her words, savage inequities? That's a mild milquetoast toss-up. I mean, you know, it's a...
I'll try.
Go ahead, Kwani.
And first, let me say there's been a lot of fingers pointed at the Illinois General Assembly for allowing local decision-making. And the critical word is allowing. This decision-making will be made at the local level and was made at the local level. And oftentimes they come down to Springfield asking for that ability to make that decision. We don't make that decision. It's made at the local level. There's plenty of reason to point the finger at the legislature. I do it all the time. And we haven't been equitable in the funding, and that's one reason to do so. But decisions made at the local level to do things that to create an apartheid in education as that currently exists. And this goes to the question, you know, this sort of Governor Snyder philosophy where communities of color...
Governor of Michigan.
Yes. Where communities of color shouldn't be allowed to govern themselves should not be embraced in the state of Illinois. Our governor's beginning to advocate for the same type of philosophy with threatening to take over the Chicago public schools and other schools. That should not be embraced in the state, and it's kind of already embraced in the state by way of the fact that we have every school district in the state of Illinois elected. And not only is this school board appointed, it's appointed without, no longer with the democracy that would come from at least a nomination from the public at large. In New York, where the mayor can appoint most of the school board members, they're also appointed members from the boroughs. So this is just an outlier in the city of Chicago because one person gets to appoint all of the schoolmen.
We've covered.
The only thing I'll mention about that is something, frankly, I've been critical about is that is true. Our district, it is 90%, African-American and Latino kids, and coincidentally, I think 88%, I'm looking over here to my CPS table for fact-checking, free and reduced lunch, which means students living in poverty, it's the same kids. And so it is a system comprised of about 90% of those 380,000 are poor children of color. And trying to integrate when you've only got about 7% of white students is a difficult task. And how do we bring equity to those folks? Because it does take more money to educate poor children of color. And how do we as a state get more money to those districts who have it? And we're not the only ones. In St. Louis, North Chicago, there's a lot of districts. And Chicago is on the verge of becoming a majority Latino district. We're about 48%, 40. And speaking of representation, only one Latino member of the 7 school board members, and I've been vocal about that. I'm a mayoral appointee, but it would be good to see more equitable representation on that board.
Okay. We all agree that we're the only school district not elected. We got 3 really good questions. Let's cover new ground. Speaking of new ground, Joe Moore, alderman of the 49th Ward, can any panel, pretty straightforward question, can any panelist point to an academic study that demonstrates a correlation between the academic performance of children in a large urban school district and whether the school board is elected or appointed?
No, it doesn't exist. And the one, in fact, Roger Eddy, we've done this panel before here, sometime last year. Roger Eddy, former state representative, former state school superintendent, and now the head of the Illinois Association of School Boards, surprised me because when he was on this panel, he did point to a study that showed
elected school boards tend to have more debt than appointed school boards.
Except in this situation.
Well, be quick because we have two more really good questions.
I know of no study, but it doesn't take a study to show that the appointed school board is not working and is creating an apartheid system.
Right, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna weigh in on this too, since I've been quiet here for a bit. There was one study done by the University of Illinois, a professor at the University of Illinois Chicago, that showed that the achievement that has been realized in Chicago public schools since 1995 has been almost entirely from white and affluent white students and students in affluent neighborhoods. The minority students, African American and Latino students, the achievement has been flat or just slight improvement. So there is a problem here. So, you know, everyone talks about this in terms of what is the performance. The performance under the appointed school board, while better, is not equitable.
Okay. G2 Brown, how do you pronounce your first name?
G2.
Okay. Journey for Justice Alliance. You spoke a couple times here, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Can you explain why almost every urban district where taxpayers cannot elect their school board, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New Orleans, are in financial crisis, where taxpayers cannot? These are not school boards that are not elected in Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New Orleans?
Almost every school district where people do not have the right to vote, Detroit, Camden, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, all of those school districts are in financial crisis, saying they have $500 million debt. Philadelphia. So why are all those school districts in financial crisis where people don't have the right to vote? When before they lost the right to vote in places like Detroit, they were actually in the black.
Well, I would say that when you talk about accountability on these decisions, when the mayor of the city of Chicago is standing for election, taxes always becomes a big issue. And so when you're in control of the Chicago Public Schools, it makes it harder to actually address the finances because you have to stand for an election. If you separate things out, then those people can stand or fall. There's a lot of people who would like to see a tax increase for education so that we can begin to put our books in order. But the question is, and I give Mayor Emanuel credit, he's been beginning to start to address some of the problems financially, but you have to have that courage. And right now I think there's too many things lumped together, and that puts pressure.
Well, yes. Just a reminder that we, unfortunately, for those of you who are Chicago residents, I apologize, but every year I was on that board, I raised your property taxes to the cap provided by the state. So that is the only mechanism that we can implement, was go to the tax cap on real estate property taxes, and they just did it again last week. And so we do raise taxes to the cap, but that's, again, something that the state governs, and you can't go above the cap. And so that's the only mechanism to raise taxes. Yes, a mayor, when he has control of a school district, can do other things. If a mayor has no skin in the game, why would they give another set of elected bodies his revenues? So that is the other side of the coin that folks have to remember, that there would be no linkage whatsoever. And then, G2, directly to your question, I think if you look at those are the large urban centers in America that have changed, where now we have largely, and again, the industrial centers, I would argue, in some of these cities where the industrial base and the industrial economy is gone. And it's not an elected or appointed school board that did that.
I have to address this notion that with an elected school board, the mayor would have no skin in the game. That's not true in other major metropolitan cities where they are elected school boards. You absolutely have skin in the game because education is absolutely critical to the city. And so a mayor can work hand in hand with an elected school board like they work hand in hand with other elected bodies.
I didn't interrupt you.
All the times you pointed the finger at the legislature, I didn't interrupt you once.
Go ahead.
The notion that a mayor cannot work with another elected body is, if that's the case, let's just abandon democracy in the United States of America. That's ridiculous. That notion is ridiculous. This notion is married to the question of whether people of color should have access to democracy as much as others. And we can't ignore that. And I'm not saying that an elected school board is an absolute answer, it's a guarantee, it's a silver bullet. There is no such thing as a silver bullet to solving those problems. And I'm not proposing an elected school board as a means of a silver bullet. We all have to pitch in for all of the kids, not only the kids that may have the benefit to go to a Walter Payton or Northside Prep or all these schools. Again, we've taken away the top of the talent from the neighborhood schools. It used to be okay to go to the neighborhood schools, and that's decision-making that took place within how you manage the resources you have, even if you're not getting all the resources that you're getting from the state. The fact that more of them will go downtown than to the neighborhoods, and you also remove the intellectual resource from the neighborhoods, the result you have is a result you see today where in 2012 to 2013 you had 41% of black males dropping out of school.
Well, we have a couple of really good questions, but we're running out of time. So, Wendy, you have your questions pretty much have been answered. And Joy, raise your hand, a CPS parent of four. Pretty much, they've covered it. And all I could say in conclusion is, by the way, how many of you are Chicago Public School graduates? Raise your hand. All right. There we go. I'm pro-democracy. I still don't get the connection between the financial crisis and who's on the board. I don't get that connection, that somehow you're going to get geniuses who are elected as opposed to the stoops that are there now. I just don't get the connection. And until somebody can show me how, if you elect somebody, they're going to be a hell of a lot smarter and find money that we can't find versus elected, I think we're arguing on the fringes, not the basic fact that the schools are basically busted. And on that note, we're adjourned.